This is the 2000 Family Research Project podcast series, looking at the impact of migration across three generations of Turkish families. In today's podcast, Professor Bernhard Nauck from the Chemnitz University of Technology in Germany talks about early findings from the project about migration patterns.
Well, the Turkish migration to Europe is one of the most prominent ones. So at least in Central Europe, the Turkish minority is by far the largest and by far the most visible migrant minority. This is different to some extent in the UK and to some extent also in France because of the tradition of migration from the former colonies. But in Central Europe, in most cases, it's just from work migration, and the Turkish are the most prominent among them. The Turkish migrants are not distributed equally among all those countries in Europe. By far, the most of the Turkish migration went to Germany, and there's also a very visible Turkish population in France and the Netherlands and Austria, and to some extent also in Switzerland, although in Switzerland the Italians are predominating.
I wonder if there have been periods when more or less Turks came to Europe, or has it been a steady flow?
No, it has not been a steady flow. Actually, we have three different phases of Turkish migration to Europe. The first one was the classical work migration in the 1960s, and it ended all of a sudden in 1973 when no more work migrants were allowed to go to the European Union. But this immediately turned into another wave of Turkish migrants, because then the families were coming to Europe. And the reason for this was that once the Turkish work migrant would have left the European Union, they had no chance to come back. So they made a hard decision either to go back themselves immediately or to bring the entire family to Europe. And actually the second thing happened. And this phase lasted until the late 1980s. And since then, we have a steady situation of almost equal Turkish people going back to Turkey and new ones entering the European Union, especially Germany. In this phase, it is in almost all cases either work migration again or family unification, or, and this is the new phase of marriage migration, which then was quite common.
So what specifically about the migration patterns of Turks to Europe did you want to focus in on, and why, using the 2000 families data?
The 2000 families study has a unique data set in many ways, but one feature was especially interesting to me, and this is that you had this genealogy of three or even four generations and a complete or a full data set on all the family members. And so this was a unique opportunity to study the impact of migration of the forefathers, so to speak, on the descendants, not only for the immediate children, but also for the grandchildren and grand-grandchildren. And so this was a possibility to study the long-lasting impact of migration, not only on those who stayed in Europe, which was studied before, but also on those stayed behind in Turkey. And this was especially a novelty in migration research.
As you said, it's a phenomenal data set. It's quite an amazing study. What specifically does it have in it that helps you look at these things? What sorts of questions are people asked about? What sorts of things do you find out about people?
What I needed, especially for my study, was to have the birth dates, the gender, and some other information on all those family members from all three generations, and of course the migration dates. And so I could model the impact of former migration within the kinship system on the probability that another family member will migrate or not. And one of the main findings is that at the beginning, it was really the work migration which was important, with this specific sets of conditions which are important for making people move. And the longer this process lasted, this migration process, the more family unification and especially the impact of former migrations within the family played an important role on the migration decisions of those who still stayed in Turkey.
Yes, that was going to be my next question, really, about how influential family networks in the decision to migrate were, and whether that influence gained momentum over time or got stronger from generation to generation.
In the first phase, this was the classical situation that people moved to Europe who had a rather good educational degree as compared to the situation of the Turkish citizens in general, and had lower chances to have an adequate job based on this educational level. So these were the most prominent people to move to Europe in the first generation. But the longer this process lasted, the less important became this situation, and the more important became whether there were already people in Europe. And so people typically moved if more and more of their siblings and their parents and grandparents lived already in Europe. And so the classical advantages of migrants being relatively well-skilled workers vanished, and instead the social relationships between those people became more and more important.
And what impact do those patterns have on the populations, both of the receiving countries and also of the population that stayed behind in Turkey?
The composition in both cases changed over time. In the receiving societies, it became more and more a feature of close relationships and, so to speak, social capital, which is, of course, also important for finding a job and finding a good location and so on and so forth. But basically, these are more and more private decisions to migrate, not so much work-related and economy-related. And, of course, this has also an impact on the Turkish people stayed behind. However, and this is one of the major findings of this study, is that more than 50% of the descendants of Turkish migrants never left Turkey. So there was also always a strong effect of Turkish migration on the country of origin. And I think this has been overlooked in most of the studies which have been done so far, because they were so much concentrated on the effects of migration on the receiving societies.
And of course, you also mentioned earlier, and another thing I think that's been neglected in the past is also those Turks who migrated but then decided to return home. What about them?
Well, actually, this is the majority. So again, the perspective of the mainstream migration research is on looking on those who are just staying in the receiving societies. However, most of the Turks went back to their home country after some time, and we only looked at those who stayed at least 5 years in Europe. So this is already a population which is already selective, because they stayed for quite a while in Europe. Even these tended to move back to Turkey. And actually, one of the main features of this is whether they ever decided to bring their spouse to Europe or not. Those who left their spouse, and this typically means also their children left behind in Turkey, they typically went back at some time later. Whereas those who decided to stay in Europe typically also moved the entire family to Europe. So this is a kind of polarization among the Turkish migrants. One part of it moved entirely to Europe, and the other one were really temporary work migrants who went back at some time and typically then left their entire family in their hometown.
Were you able to establish the factors that most influenced the decision to migrate?
Actually, in the 1960s, in the early 1970s, it was really labor market related. So low chances to find an adequate job in Turkey because of the aspirations these people had. And so they only could fulfill their aspirations if they went to Europe. But this changed over time. So in more recent time, it was in many cases based on being a minority member, which increased the probability to Europe quite a bit, and this increased over time. And the other point was whether the spouse already lived in Europe. And as I said at the beginning, this is typically one of the only tickets which are still available for Turkish people to come to Europe. And so what happened in recent times is that the only possibility to bring other members of the kinship system to Europe is to arrange marriages with those already living in Germany, especially, and who have already a stabilized situation to live in Europe.
For you, what are the key things to have emerged from this that might be of interest to those who are trying continuously to better understand the motivations of migrants?
It is based on the unique design of this study. So we not only focus on those migrants who actually currently staying in Europe and which are a selective population out of migrants, but we have the focus on the entire situation, including those people living in Turkey. And so we could provide a much richer and a full picture of the entire migration process. This is important, especially for one reason. Typically, the Turkish migrants, and they are typically those coined to be the most problematic group among migrants in Germany, for example, they typically focus on a comparison of the Turkish population to members of the receiving society, which is not an adequate comparison. So our design was unique in the way that we compared the Turkish population to those who did not move. So we could draw a picture of what would have happened to those Turkish migrants if they would not have migrated. And actually, this is a quite interesting picture because it is not only based on those selective Turks living in Germany or in other countries, but it's also based on those who are stayed behind. And actually, for example, it is well known that among the migrants, the educational level increases from generation to generation. And in many ways, this was attributed to the efforts of the receiving society. But if you compare those Turks in Germany with those Turks living in Turkey, then you can see that this increase in the educational level occurred there as well, not only for men, but also for women.
Professor Bernard Nauck was talking to Chris Garrington about his research on migration patterns, which features in intergenerational consequences of migration, socioeconomic family and cultural patterns of stability and change in Turkey and Europe. It's published by Palgrave Macmillan. You can find out more about the North Face-funded 2000 Families research project at www.2000families.org.